I'm Carol Hills, and this is The World. Donald Trump is making big promises to shore up America's flagging coal industry. The president blames environmental regulations for putting the squeeze on demand for coal and for threatening the jobs of thousands of miners and power plant workers across the country. But the fate of the coal economy is a lot more complicated than that. Case in point, one of the largest coal-fired power plants in the country, a plant that's partly owned by the U.S. government, has announced that it's shutting down years ahead of schedule. And it's not about the environment. It's about competition. Still, the local impact will be huge because the plant is a pillar of the economy in the Navajo Nation in the desert southwest. Here's The World's environment reporter, Carolyn Beeler.
When you drive through the wide-open desert of northern Arizona, this is what channel surfing on the radio sounds like. The view is better than the soundtrack. Out the car window, you can see sagebrush growing in sandy soil and red sandstone rock formations on the horizon.
Engineered with unbeatable style.
And then suddenly, at the edge of the Navajo Reservation, a maze of power lines and then three looming towers appear.
Right in the middle of the desert is a Navajo generating station, which is a giant coal-fired power plant. I'm looking right now at three concrete-colored, very tall smokestacks with white plumes of smoke just shooting out of the top of them.
The power plant has been running since 1974 and supplies electricity to more than a million customers. But now the operators want out.
There's cheaper energy options out there.
Paul Ostapuk is a manager at the Navajo Generating Station. It burns coal, which just can't compete on price anymore.
The primary driver is just the low cost of natural gas right now. It's making operation of this plant uneconomical.
So in February, the plant's majority owner suddenly announced they wanted to close it in just 2 years.
This thing just was dropped on us.
This is Navajo Nation President Russell Begay.
There's no preparation, no warning.
Begay has a thick head of hair streaked with silver. He wears a turquoise necklace that pops against his purple shirt and tie. The power plant is on Navajo land, and last year, Begay's government earned nearly $40 million from the power plant and the mine that supplies its coal.
Together, about a third of our budget comes from the two.
Roughly 275 people work at the plant and coal mine. Almost all of them are Native American.
The whole region is heavily dependent on this one source of revenue. It's going to be devastating.
It's a region already struggling with steep unemployment and chronic poverty. High-paying jobs are rare. Without the plant, workers will have to retire, move, or find lower-paying work. It's a big concern around here.
It's just going to break my family apart.
This is Evangeline Banal, whose husband works at the plant.
My kids and I, we probably won't see my husband as much because he would probably have to work on the road.
I talked to Banal one evening in a small Navajo community. She says moving doesn't feel like an option.
For me, I have my mom, I have my family, I have my grandma, I have my aunties and my uncles. Everybody's here, and it's the reservation, and I feel safe here.
Many people, like Delphine Haskey, see the plant as a force keeping families close to their Navajo culture.
It keeps the people connected to their heritage, to their roots, rather than going off the reservation and looking for jobs.
Of course, there are also some big downsides to having a massive coal-fired power plant for a neighbor. The Navajo Generating Station is a major source of smog. Its emissions cloud views at the Grand Canyon. And it's one of the single biggest sources of greenhouse gas pollution in the entire country. Navajo President Begay knows his people would be healthier without the plant, but it's so woven into the economy that at first he was determined to save it. And he saw an ally in the new president, Donald Trump.
I was at the inauguration, and I sat not far from the front.
From that rainy Friday in January, Begay remembers these words.
We are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
He also remembered Trump promising to save the coal industry.
So I merely challenged President Trump, saying, we're the local people that you say you're going to listen to and that you're going to support the coal industry. Now is the time to make that real.
But Begay was disappointed.
The Trump administration has not lifted a finger for us, and I don't believe that he will.
Begay wanted President Trump to make a dramatic deal to save the plant. What he got instead was more subtle help. A federal agency that's part owner of the plant is negotiating to keep it open 2 more years. They have until Saturday to reach a deal. And if they do, the feds hope that buys time to find a new owner to keep the power plant open longer. But that's actually not a big focus for Begay anymore. He's pivoted since this winter and is looking at a new way forward for his people.
We're upgrading our entire infrastructure. We're infusing money for small businesses. So I'm trying to get our nation to make this transition.
And ironically, for a guy who recently wanted President Trump to subsidize coal, that transition includes moving toward cleaner energy.
Part of it is creating solar farms, wind farms, natural gas. The river runs through Navajo Nation for hydroelectricity production.
Begay has negotiated for rights to the power plant's transmission lines so the reservation can use them to sell power from different sources.
So that's huge to me, is to be able to rise out of this like the phoenix, right? Being more self-sufficient than ever before in the history of Navajo Nation.
For now, though, if this coal-burning behemoth in the middle of the desert does close, it'll be a tough transition for the people who live around here.
It's not like back east, you know, where you can find other work nearby.
This is plant manager Paul Ostapuk again.
People are working hard to see what the economic future looks like, but that's a slow-moving process. So short-term, there are no ready substitutes for the jobs that will be lost in this area.
And that's the reality of today's energy transition. Benefits in the future often come at the cost of pain and uncertainty in the present. For The World, Carolyn Beeler from the Navajo Nation.
Tomorrow, Carolyn explores the impact that closing the Navajo generating station would have on one Navajo family.
The wage that I get working there, I'm grateful. It keeps me close to my community and allows me to do what I want to do.
His kids feel the same way, even though they know the plant is a big polluter.
I know how environmentalists feel differently about the power plant. I understand their views as well, but in somewhat, I guess you would say I'm a little selfish.
Our story continues tomorrow.